Hello and welcome back to MotoGP Banter India. My name is Varun and you are listening to episode number 11 of this podcast. Episode 11, we have already done 11 episodes. I mean, this is going to be the 11th episode, but it's been great. 11 episodes so far. The rest of the season is also pending. It's going to be a fun season, like I always say. You know, to do this, to be able to express my views, have an opinion on the things that are going on in the world of MotoGP. Just because I'm such an... I devote a certain part of my weekend when there's a race weekend. And apart from that as well, constantly seeing things and learning MotoGP in terms of just understanding what how bikes are different, what goes behind the scenes and stuff like that. So it's been crazy and it's going to get crazier as the season progresses. Now, it's almost been a month since I recorded the last one. And work's caught up pretty quickly. You know, things are opening up here in Pune. And by the way, I hope everybody's safe wherever you guys are. I hope everybody's taking care of their families. And, you know, I hope everything around you is well. And I also hope you guys have got at least the first shot of your vaccination. In fact, some people, actually some colleagues who have gotten the Covaxin vaccine have already got their second shot. So now they are fully vaccinated. People who have got the Covishield vaccine have to wait for 12 weeks now, as you must have heard in the news. So I am one of those individuals. I got it. I was really quick during the initial days of, you know, when the 18 to 44 slots opened. I was super, super quick, managed to get myself a slot and got my first shot on the 7th of May. So I'll have to get the second one around... In the last week of July or in the first week of August, somewhere around those days. But all is well, you know, at least the mental pressure of knowing that you're vaccinated with at least one shot makes me feel really calm, peaceful, knowing that there are some kind of antibodies that have been made. And, you know, stepping out safely, isn't that much of a problem. So that's that, but let's talk about MotoGP. I missed out on, you know, missed talking about my favorite circuit of all time. It's Mugello. I don't know what I was doing there. I might have been super busy, but I did manage to catch the race, and then Catalunya happened. So two races is something that I missed, and I deeply regret it, but, you know, maybe in like a summary video, I would like to talk about it. But for now, we are at the Sachsenring. Sachsenring is in Germany. And it is one of the most tricky circuits. I mean, it's not tricky. Tricky in a way because there are so many left-handers. There are hardly any right-handers. If I just count from the... Maybe around three right-handers. About three or four right-handers. That's it. The rest, eight, nine corners are all left-handers. And the king of the ring for the past so many seasons has been Marc Marquez, who's... had an insane run at Sachsenring. You know, nobody's able to come close and nobody's able to actually beat him. That's why he's the king of the ring. Sachsenring, king of the ring, you know, make it 2+2. So that's been the story so far, at least in the MotoGP class. I don't know how it's going to be this time around because he's still recovering from that injury. With whatever reports that I've read, I think the test that they had in Barcelona a day after the actual race, which is Catalunya, He did an intense number of laps and he was feeling super strong. Because here's the thing, when you start off a season, there's a bike that's been set up. You know, there's like a base bike that's been set up and it comes from that input comes from a lot of riders. So Paul Espargaro for the factory team was at the center because Marc Marquez wasn't there. And then there's Taka Nakagami in the LCR team. There's Alex Marquez in the LCR team. So, and then there are testers. So, Stefan Bradl, he will come in and have his input. Now, the thing is, Honda had actually set up the bike according to Marquez's feedback since a very long time because he was getting them the points. He was getting them those wins. He was winning them the championship. But this time around, with him not being there, testing took a slightly different turn. And the bike was focused around these individuals. Now, when Marc Marquez came back and realized, oh, this is not the bike that I've been riding for so long and this is not set up the way I wanted it to be. Of course, it took a while for him to get adjusted to. And I'm not taking away from anything because I really like Marc Marquez as a rider. I think he's super competitive and that's why I'm a fan. But he was doing well. I mean, there are, I think it was Le Mans till he crashed out. He was probably leading the race or something, if I'm not wrong. Leading or he was second. So he was there. He was there in the points. Even he was there in the podium. He was challenging for the podium. But having said that, he crashed out. And that's probably because he's trying to push it too hard and trying to get... trying to get points for them, trying to get adjusted the motorcycle, trying to get those seat time. Yeah, that's the word. He's trying to get more seat time on a bike that is so challenging. And in the process, he's trying to build his body, trying to build those muscles, trying to work that shoulder as much as he can so that it becomes strong faster. And he gets back to his normal pace, you know, as soon as he can. So, everybody's going to be talking about him because it is one of the circuits in the calendar where he's been so dominant over the years. I don't think he's going to be as dominant this time around. Of course, not because he's injured, but because the rest of the competitions caught up so, so quickly. I mean, look at Quartararo. I mean, apart from a couple of races where, you know, where he had the arm pump and the last time around he had his leathers open and stuff like that happened. He's been super strong. Not just has he improved as a rider, but the Yamaha that he's been riding, he's been testing, he's been giving constant feedback on, has improved as well. So it's been an amazing phase for Quartararo and Yamaha. Vinales again trying to push as hard as he can. Of course, the Ducatis, not just the factory rider, Pramac, Zarco has been doing exceptionally well, second in the championship. And it's going to be an insane season, I'm telling you. MotoGP, this time around, is going to be super tight, just like last year. I mean, last year you had a limited number of circuits for riders to play around with, but this time it's going to be very, very crazy. Full calendar, the bikes are super competitive. The riders have grown so much. Of course, the inline fours, Yamahas and the Suzukis, they struggle in the straight, but their mid-corner stability is excellent. I mean, that's where they shine. That's where the Ducatis don't, and they should really shine on the straights with that extra horsepower. So I think Saxon Ring, King of the Ring, is going to be super difficult for Marc Marquez to be here. I don't know who's going to win this. Maybe looking at FP4, which happens on Saturday, I'll probably have a guess on who might win this. And I've always said this in the past, and I don't know if people have actually caught up on this, but you know, FP1, FP2 and FP3 is more of like, just getting to feel the bike, adjusting the suspension, ergonomics, just giving constant feedback. FP4 is when tires come into play. So the tires that they're going to run in the race is what they run in FP4. It's just a mock-up of what's going to happen in the race. So they will run those tires. They will try to set as many laps, not just set as many laps, but they will try to set a pace. So if they think that a 1:39, for example, 1 minute 39 seconds is the best. For a Saxon Ring, it's going to be around 120. 120 is the lap record, if I'm not wrong. They'll probably do a 122 for maybe like 12 or 13 or 14 laps straight and try to see how the tire holds up. So that's where the real magic happens. And if you have to guess who's going to win this race, you probably have to keep a close eye on FP4 more than any other free practice session. And then, of course, Q1, Q2 happens. That is also very incremental in understanding who's going to just blast off straight off the line and, you know, take the whole shot in the first corner. But FP4 is super important for these riders and for someone who's very invested in the world of MotoGP to understand who's going to win the race. I don't know who's going to win this. Probably Saturday is when I figure this out. That's that. In Moto2, Remy Gardner and Raul Fernandez are looking smashing. You know, for Gardner, I think the main problem was that he's a big boy. So he's carrying a lot of weight and tire wear was a huge problem last year. But he struck the right chord in this season and with KTM. And not just that, he's got himself a seat next year in the MotoGP class. Now, I don't know who's going to go from the MotoGP because from KTM because Oliveira's yet to sign his contract. Binder's already signed it. Lecuona or Petrucci, one of these guys will go. And we don't know that yet. But Miguel's been doing really well. He's already notched that win in Barcelona, and you know, he's looking super strong. So that's what happens mid-season. Manufacturers or factory teams are actually looking at how the performance has been, and that's how, where they decide to. That's what happened with Miller. Miller did not have a confirmed seat, and he signed because he was doing so well. Won a race in the wet, won a race in the dry. And that's what Ducati said, you are doing great, here's your contract, let's go. That's what happened with Miguel Oliveira as well. He did a fantastic couple of races and managed to, even at Mugello, he was doing really good. So it all boils down to maybe the next 3-4 races where they will have to decide who they're letting go of and where Remy Gardner fits in. Moto2 Championship is going to be, I thought initially the way Sam Lowes was riding, I was like, boss, this is where he wins it. Because, you know, he's got that experience, he's got a good bike, he's got the mentality now to just go ahead and, you know, leave the rest of the pack behind and just make it happen. But after the first couple of races, you know, he's not been constant and he's not been steady with his performance, and that's where I think it's hurting him. But let's see how that goes. For now, I think it's between Raul Fernandez and Remy Gardner. It'll be an icing on the cake if Gardner wins it, because he's going to graduate himself to the MotoGP class anyway next year. There's a good chance that Fernandez also graduates. So maybe Petrucci and Lecuona, you know, both of these guys go and these guys take their place. So you never know what's going to happen. Maybe in the next 3 or 4 races is when we'll figure that out. Talking about Moto2, Fabio Di Giantonio also proceeds to the MotoGP class along with Enea Bastianini. They are going to form the Gresini 2021 MotoGP team. Now, not just that, there's Ducati, there's Pramac, there's Gresini, and let me just get this right. Yeah, so there is, yes, like I said, there's the factory team, there's Pramac, there is the Gresini team, and if Valentino Rossi's team replaces Aventia Racing, that's going to be another set of Ducati motorcycles. So instead of the 6 that you have this season, Ducati might have 8 running next year. Valentino Rossi might actually go for a Yamaha setup as well. I'm not sure. I mean, not Valentino Rossi, but his team might go for a Yamaha setup. So you never know what's happening behind the scenes. But all of these things really start coming to life midway to the season. So in the next couple of races, like I said, a lot of things will become clear. Moto3 still looks Pedro Acosta's race or championship for now. But, you know, he's also kind of slowed down. He had a blast of a start to this season, but he's also slowed down, and let's see how that goes as well. He's looking strong, you know, last race, where that's the beauty of Moto3, you know, you never know who's going to win. It might boil down to the last race. He's still leading the championship in spite of leaving Sachsenring. He might be still leading the championship, so you never know what's going to happen, because the gap between the first and the second rider, I think it's Alcoba, if I'm not wrong. No, I'm not really sure. I haven't paid much attention to that, but it's intense. I will never ever miss a Moto3 race. It's just that interesting. It's just that exciting, and I absolutely love it. So the race is still wide open. The championship is still wide open. In all the 3 classes, we are at the Sachsenring, a circuit that I absolutely love. Not as much as Mugello though, but I still love it because it's so challenging deciding the tire, and you know, you're leaned out to your left most of the time. And any mistake, you're on the grass. That's what usually happens when I play the circuit in the MotoGP game. So, today's a Friday. Today is FP1, FP2. Tomorrow will be FP3, 4, Q1 and Q2. And Sunday, we race. And I'm super, super excited. I'm going to be in Mumbai this Sunday to watch it in peace. Hopefully, I'll be in Mumbai. I'm going to be in Mumbai. Okay. Alright, guys. That was episode number 11. Sachsenring update. Thank you so much for listening. I always end up saying, or almost end up thinking about this. Thank you for watching, because I'm so used to saying thank you for watching. But thank you for listening to episode number 11 of MotoGP Banter India. I hope you get a fair idea of what to expect, where things are, where riders are, where contracts are. And of course, a lot of these things get clear as the race progresses, races progress, or as the calendar progresses. So let's see how that goes. Of course, I'll try making another episode, maybe on a Tuesday or a Monday. Let's see how that goes as well. But for now, let's see what the Saxon Ring has in store. Super excited for this circuit. I'll see you with an update recording very, very soon. Thank you so much. Bye-bye. My name is Warren Painter and I will see you later.